our endless, hilarious storyteller, our last storyteller of the evening. Please welcome Beth Reboyne.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Life in My Skin. It's going to be a long ride tonight. Kirby's here, and Kirby recently gave me my 12-year-old's dream hairdo, haircut. Here it is. And as a 12-year-old, I had already spent the majority of my life looking like a boy. I went through a mullet phase for several years and then a bowl cut phase for several more years. And I saw this hairdo in a skater mag that my brother owned, and I was like, that solves it. I can have long hair for a girl and short hair for a boy. All my problems will be solved. But I had to first go through Pat Hansen, my hairstylist for my whole childhood, also my mother's hairstylist, and I could see them exchanging looks in the mirror, and while I explained, I want the sides shaved, and they're like, and I got my usual bowl cut from Pat Hansen, and I was quite disappointed, because I was towing a fine line those years, and I really wanted my mom on my side with that one. She is a pretty good advocate for me with this whole wanting to be a boy thing. And I don't know if I wanted to be a boy. I was pretty endorsing this look, but I didn't want to be a girl. And my mom was doing her best to understand this. I had three older brothers, and my mom was like a feminist sort of in the super old-fashioned way of like being a career woman and making her dreams come true and making things happen for herself, but through the mode of adopting really masculine, traditionally masculine characteristics of being competitive and aggressive and so on and so forth. And I was kind of seeing these behaviors and copying them and thinking I needed to adopt being a boy if I wanted anything I wanted out of life. And so I had these three older brothers who got what they wanted, basically. And my brothers were kind of a cruel bunch. My mom once said of our family that we show our love by being mean to each other. And I don't know what that meant really, but it made a lot of sense. My brothers, my two older brothers spent a lot of time using our archaic printer on our computer to print pictures of piglets and hide them around the house for my chubby brother to find and then cry about. I know they're mean, but my chubby brother Matt, he was a year and a half older than me. He wasn't innocent. He would steal my diary and read it and then take phrasing out of it and use it in daily conversation with me to toy with me. So to this day, if Matt asks me if I'm having a goodish, baddish day, I know he's referencing my fourth grade diary. So I had that to deal with, and that doesn't really like speak to why I wanted to be a boy or not be a girl, but like there were other things. I was obsessed with baseball, and I wanted to be a professional baseball player, but you can't really get the practice for that if your parents don't let you play Little League. And I wasn't allowed to play Little League, and it was actually because I didn't meet the age cutoff, and I would have been with older kids and all this, but I blamed it that I wasn't a boy, and they didn't think I was good enough for Little League. So I had to play stupid softball, but my mom was supportive with this, and even though she didn't know the rules of baseball yet or didn't have any coordination at all, she was my softball coach. And so I remember like having these really good bonding moments with my mom on the ride home from softball games, where she'd be like, that was a good play, but then she'd like start talking about her rivalry with the other coach that was another girl's mom and how much she hated this other girl that was like also 10 years old. And she hated this coach's daughter. She called the girl who was my age the bulldog. And she's like, I just hate that bulldog. She's just such an ugly bulldog. And this is like the what I'm learning about, like how women treat each other. So I was like, I'd rather be a little boy, I think, and then deal with that. And my mom had other hatreds for children of my age. She really disliked this girl named Kristen Jansky that I went to school with. She called Kristen a rah-rah girl, which meant that she was a cheerleader, but actually, let me back up. I skipped this part that when I was in second grade, this is how much like a boy I looked. I moved across town, and this kid, Doug Carlson, staked out the bathrooms to see which one I went into when I went into a new bathroom at my new school. So Doug Carlson went back and reported to the class that, yes, in fact, I was a girl. So, okay, skip to my mom's hatred of Kristen Jansky. Kristen Jansky was a rah-rah girl, but actually Kristen Jansky was dating Doug Carlson in fifth grade, and she was the first girl to have a boyfriend, and Doug helped her earn the nickname Fingers, and that's horrible. It's not radio appropriate, but she did, and I think my mom kind of hated her, like, in this way of trying to protect me from having that type of behavior, like you don't have to give yourself away to Doug Carlson to be a cool, good person. But what I got from that was that, like, liking boys was bad and femininity was bad. And so my mom really shouldn't have been very concerned about me and boys or anything like that, because there was a lot of shame and confusion around my body at that point. I was pretty certain that my cat was going to get me pregnant because when I was really little, I cataloged that my mother told my, I asked my mom, Mom, how do you have a baby? Like, how do you get pregnant? And her answer was that if two people love each other very much, God sees that and gives them a baby. So I put that in the back of my head, and then I mixed that in with what I saw on TV of how people made babies. And so I'd lay on my couch with my cat on my belly, and that's the TV part with bellies touching and vibrations happening. And then I loved my cat very much, so I'd be petting my cat, but also, like, praying, dear God, I really love Tiger, but please don't give me a baby with Tiger. And I'd feel like this horrible deep shame that I might get pregnant from loving my cat. So that wasn't going to happen. I also was just, like, really confused about the whole region of I only had boyfriends, and none of my females in my life talked about anything with me. So on the way home from school one day around that era, we had this discussion, this debate, what is a period? We had no idea. And then Sean Fisher solved it. He said his mom said that it means that you start bleeding out of your butt. So I was waiting for this. Horrified, just waiting for it, and the fear grew real, like more real, as one day I got home from school and there was like a pile of bras on my bed, and my mom told me, she like ambushed me in the hallway and said, you have to start wearing a bra at least when you wear white shirts. And so I took that and I thought, And the answer to that was I took white shirts out of my wardrobe for a year. And so a year later, I found another pile of bras on my bed, and it was, you have to wear a bra all the time. And so I was an obedient child, and I chose a bra, one that you couldn't, I was really terrified that someone would see the bra strap through the collar of my shirt. And like if I moved, they'd see a hint of bra. And that would reveal that I had breasts, and I was like, not only had a body, but I had a girl's body. So that was terrifying. So I chose this bra that was like way too big, and it would move with my shirt. And it was like basically a tank top that cut off at an elastic band halfway down my belly. It was very attractive. And the other problem with bras is my mom folded the laundry at the kitchen table at breakfast. So underwear and bras went on the top of the pile. So my answer to that question was to just quit. Never put my bra into the dirty clothes. Just wear it every day without washing it. And weeks and months went by with this one sad giant bra that progressively got darker brown and kind of gray, and it smelled, and there's like a grittiness I can still feel. And one day my mom like came in my room and dug through my underwear drawer when I was in my jammies or something, and she found it, and I just like, I don't know the conversation, but I can see the bra sailing through the air and into my garbage can, and I was like, but they'll see my bra straps. So that was a traumatic day for me. And I was exhausted by all of this. And I was ready to grow my hair out, but I was terrified. I vividly remember thinking, how if I grow my hair out to a ponytail, which is what I want, what will my brothers think of me? Because there was this shadow of my brothers that they thought of girls in two ways. My brother Dave had two responses to girls. Either he would go, soft, and that meant he thought a girl was cute. Or he would say, ooh, she's in her dog days. And that dog days was everything else. And I didn't want to be relegated to dog days. So for like 2 years, I had this bowl cut that was like swept to the side and then gelled. And it was just horrendous. And I was like, I was so ready. The boys had quit playing baseball with me, and I was fine with that because I was more interested in individual boys than big groups of boys, you know. I would have fantasies about kissing boys. And in the fantasies, I had big, long braids. And I actually look like Laura Ingalls in the fantasies because she was on Little House on the Prairie. That was my best female role model, and I wanted to be her. So she's cool, and I had adventures. I was ready, and it was a good thing for sports, actually, because my softball team, they would do my makeup with me, and I'd end up looking horrendous, but it was fun. And my cross-country team, we'd sew scrunchies together. So if you have a scrunchie, you need a ponytail. And my hair was bopping in my eyes while I ran anyhow. So it was just a matter of logistics to grow it out to pull it back in a ponytail. And nobody noticed when I got a ponytail and started looking like a girl. Like, no one said anything and no one cared. And all that angst and worry was like just something I had put myself through. Well, society put me through it, really, but it was all within me, and I wonder about that now, just thinking of all that turmoil and all those wasted hours, and what could it have possibly been worth? And I don't know if it was worth much of anything other than maybe telling other people about it and paving the way for the next generation, which makes me think of my little, I got a lot of little nieces and nephews, and I have this awesome 4-year-old nephew that we all call Cubby, and he's a total ham. He's the only reason I have a Facebook account anymore, is to see what new dance moves Cubby has. And he's the bomb. He just moved to Oregon. He moved to Portland, so he's doing pretty all right on his own without me. But his favorite color is pink, and he just recently insisted on getting this bright pink onesie with a unicorn, a metallic unicorn, like prancing across the front. And it says, "I wake up magic" next to the unicorn. And my mom was telling me about this and telling me how he did his dance moves in it, and telling me how he told her that he wants to grow his hair as long as Rapunzel, that that's his life goal. And my mom was just thrilled by this news, like holding Cubby can do nothing wrong. And and we all just adore this little dude Cubby. And I want to end my story with Cubby, but I'm still feeling a little bit of shame. I'm feeling shame about that prayer I said earlier about my cat getting me pregnant, just because it's so pathetic. It's like weird. So I want to leave you guys tonight with a new prayer, and that is that, well, maybe it's just a wish, and it's, I wish that you can all have your 12-year-old dream haircuts. I wish that you can all have your equivalent of a hot pink onesie with a unicorn on the front, and I wish that you can each start your new day knowing that you wake up magic.